Good day, and welcome to the 4SC Q1 Results 2015 conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Jochen Olowski. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon, everybody, and good morning to the U.S. My name is Jochen Olowski. I'm the IR manager at 4SC. It's our pleasure to welcome you to today's conference call on 4SC's financial results for the first quarter of 2015. Joining me on the phone today is Enno Spillner, CEO and CFO of 4SC. For the Q&A session later on with me here are Daniel Fitz, our Chief Development Officer and Chief Scientific Officer, as well as Dr. Susanne Danhauser-Riedl, our new Chief Medical Officer. Before we start, I would like to briefly remind you that during this call, we may make projections or estimates regarding future plans and objectives relating to our future operations, products or services, future financial results, or assumptions underlying or relating to any such statements, each of which constitutes a forward-looking statement subject to risks and uncertainties, many of which are beyond our control. Actual results could differ materially depending on a number of factors. With this, I'd like to turn the call over to Enno.
Yes, thank you, Jochen, and welcome everyone to our 2015 Q1 results conference call. It's a pleasure having you on the call today, here today once again. Our plan is to provide you with an update on our operational and financial highlights for the recent quarter, and of course, also providing an outlook for the rest of the year. At the end of the call, we will, as usual, open up the line for your questions. Now let me start with the operational highlights first. Q1 2015 was another very eventful quarter at 4SC, and we continued to make progress at the different levels of the company. In total, I think we caught a very good start into 2015. Shortly after the end of the reporting quarter, we were able to sign a very important licensing deal for our epigenetic compound resminostat with Menarini AP for the Asia-Pacific region, excluding Japan, where we already have a resminostat partnering agreement with Yakult Honsha in place, as you probably all know. Menarini will be responsible for the clinical development, regulatory and approval, as well as marketing and sales of resminostat in all tumor indications in the region. Thanks to our two partners, resminostat now covers the entire Asia-Pacific market, which accounts for approximately 75% of all liver cancer in the world, just naming one indication here as an example. Our partnerships in Asia now allow us to reconsider additional or even alternative development options beyond the indication of liver cancer for the development of resminostat in Western countries. I will get back to that later during my call or during our call. Furthermore, during the first quarter, 4SC presented quite promising initial preclinical data for resminostat in the field of immune oncology at the scientific iTalk2 conference here in Munich just lately. These data point to resminostat's potential efficacy as an immunomodulator, a property that 4SC believes would be an outstanding addition to the antitumor activity the compound has already demonstrated so far. Efforts will be made to further confirm these very encouraging preclinical data, and we are working on this intensively right now. Should the ongoing animal models prove to be successful, we can well imagine positioning resminostat in the clinic in combination with checkpoint inhibitors such as PD-1 or PD-L1 for the benefit of cancer patients. This is a highly exciting field where some other epigenetic compounds have recently created initial encouraging news flow, and we are quite pleased that resminostat may have a similar potential here in its so-called immune priming ability. For example, make the immune system significantly more responsive to existing or upcoming cancer immune therapies. In Japan, our partner Yakult Honsha continues to make progress with its development of resminostat, where it is currently testing the compound in two randomized phase II trials. In the indication of advanced liver cancer, or HCC, the efficacy of the resminostat sorafenib combination as a first-line therapy is being compared to the standard monotherapy with sorafenib in around 140 Asian patients. In the indication of so-called non-small cell lung cancer, the efficacy of the resminostat docetaxel combination therapy is being compared to monotherapy with docetaxel in around 100 Asian patients in second and third line. In both trials, the potentially predictive biomarker ZFP64 is being evaluated under randomized study conditions in order to identify a patient population with the potential to respond especially well to treatment with resminostat. We are looking forward to these results with great expectations because, apart from generating highly appreciated additional information about ZFP64 biomarker under randomized conditions, which will be important also for our own clinical development options with resminostat in HCC in the Western world, the results may yield enormous upside potential for 4SC if resminostat overall survival data should be positive. We also continue to see attractive potential for the development of our second epigenetic compound, 4C22, and for our third cancer compound, 4C25. Plans for the further development of 4C22 are proceeding apace with the company. We are now looking at a range of options, both in-house and with potential financing or industry partners for securing and executing the clinical phase 2 development of this compound in several cancer indications. Additionally, 4C was able to make a key new addition to the management team during the first month of 2015. We hired Dr. Susanne Dannhauser-Riedl as new chief medical officer, who took over the management of 4C's clinical development on April 1st of this year. Susanne is a medical doctor with more than 20 years of experience in hematology oncology, both in the clinical practice and as a pharma manager in the area of medical affairs. Susanne joined us from GSK, where she was, among other tasks, responsible for the clinical development of the oncology pipeline in Germany, and we are very excited to have her join our team here at 4C. Clearly, Susanne's primary responsibility will be the further clinical development of 4C oncology pipeline. Looking at what I just reported about resminostat and 4C22 and correlated important decisions to be taken, Susanne comes on board at a perfect time where her clinical expertise and experience is highly appreciated. Furthermore, we are also happy to announce that during the quarter, our research subsidiary 4C Discovery made progress with its collaborations and service business in drug discovery. With our partner Crelux, 4C Discovery successfully completed the first stage of collaboration with the ROSQ Therapeutics Working Group at the Munich-based Helmholtz Zentrum München in the field of research and discovery of new compounds for treatment of degenerative diseases. Also during this quarter, 4C Discovery's associated company Panoptis Pharma from Austria concluded a first license agreement with a subsidiary of the Italian pharma company Mediolanum for the compound called PP001 for inflammatory eye diseases such as non-infectious uveitis, which represents a high medical need. 4C Discovery may indirectly benefit from this deal going forward, as 4C Discovery is entitled to success-related milestone and royalty payments for this compound from Panoptis. Now coming to the financial highlights, I will now take you through our financial results, and before I run you through these financial highlights, I would like to remind you that the figures we will present here refer to group consolidated figures for the period, and we have rounded up for simplicity. Full details of the group's figures, including the individual reporting segments, discovery and collaborative, as well as development, can be found on our website. Whilst we have a number of positive first quarter developments to report, we remain very much aware of the major challenges we have yet to face. These include, in particular, the securing of long-term company financing and the further clinical development of our main value driver, arisminostat, and obviously other assets like 4C22 and in the future 2-5 as well. We are redoubling our efforts here, and I am confident that our dedicated team will achieve a successful outcome. Over the quarter, our consolidated revenue amounted to close to €2 million, which represents a 38% improvement from Q1 2014. This positive development was mainly attributable to allocations to Yakult Honsha of costs to produce the arisminostat compound, and this being achieved in addition to our existing cooperation agreements with the BioNTech and Leo Pharma in the drug discovery arena. Revenue in the development segment increased more than sixfold to €1.42 million, thanks to the arisminostat production for Yakult, while the discovery and collaborative business segment's revenue fell, partly due to one-off effects in the previous year, by 53% to €0.57 million in this respective quarter. Operating expenses stood at €3.44 million in this first quarter of 2015, and thus were slightly lower than the prior year figure of €3.56 million. Overall, our operating loss also improved by 37% to €1.33 million compared to the prior year figure of €2.12 million, in particular due to the increased revenue. As at March 2015, the company had cash and cash equivalents totaling €2.12 million, and this resulted in an average monthly outflow of cash from operations amounting to roughly €700,000 in the first quarter of 2015. In addition, 4C may draw down a further €3 million from the Santo loan being still available, and may utilize tranches from the Yorkville funding via convertible bonds for up to €14 million if needed. Coming to the outlook, overall we have had a good operational quarter, and we made good progress with our pipeline products, particularly by securing Menarini as an additional renowned partner for the further arisminostat development in Asia Pacific. We are also excited by the positive top-line data with the 4C22 and the interest we are seeing in the compound. We have also completed some important homework on our share capital side. In this context, on April 27th, we announced via press release the final implementation of our 4-to-1 revenue share split resolved by our extraordinary shareholders meeting on March 11th. This measure, which reduced the number of shares outstanding, roughly speaking, from €50 million down to €10 million, and resulting in a technical step up of the share price and also a new ISIN, was, to our impression, very well accepted by the capital markets. This measure will grant our management board a greater degree for flexibility in terms of potential financing options, and we will carefully monitor the financial markets in the weeks and months to come. Our primary goal for the remainder of 2015 is to safeguard the further clinical development of our value drivers and their respective financing. Regarding arisminostat, and based on the ongoing or planned activities of our two Asian partners in the indications of liver cancer in Asia, now covering approximately 75% of all global HCC cases, we have begun to re-evaluate arisminostat's further clinical development in Western patient populations, also with a focus on other indications in addition to liver cancer. The simple reason is that by now, two committed partners will take care about arisminostat's development in HCC, and especially Yakult is pretty advanced with regard to its ongoing phase 2 trial in Japan, evaluating obviously also our biomarker ZFP64. Consequently, it might make sense waiting for this data, which is anticipated for the first half year of 2016, and then implementing the findings of this trial into a future own 4C-driven HCC trial design for the Western world. So, one attractive additional option in the short term could be a hematological niche indication, such as cutaneous T-cell lymphoma or CTCL, for example, for which relatively rapid approval could be possible in Europe based on a comparatively low outlay of resources and also a moderate risk profile. In CTCL, two HDAC inhibitors have already demonstrated efficacy and received market approval in the US. However, and that's quite interesting, no such compound have yet received approval from the EMA in Europe. We believe this market niche might be a highly attractive opportunity worthwhile further exploring for 4C. Regarding 4C22, treatment of the last patient in the clinical phase 1 TOPAZ trial in patients with advanced hematological tumors was completed in the first quarter of 2015. And last year, we already reported positive top-line data for pharmacokinetics, safety, and tolerability, as well as the initial indications of anti-tumor activities. The data are currently being analyzed for the final report, which we expect to be published in about mid-2015. On the strength of previous results, we are currently analyzing specific options and indications for the further clinical development of 4C22. This might be in-house or together with potential financing and or industry partners whom we are currently in talks with. Regarding our third clinical cancer compound, 4C25, which in December 2014 returned positive top-line data from the phase 1 Aegis trial in patients with advanced solid tumors. Here, after treatment of the last patient in the study was completed in the first quarter of 2015 as well, the final study report is now being prepared, and we will have a poster at the upcoming ASCO in Chicago. Regarding future development options, we are currently evaluating these, and we are in talks with external experts and potential partners, in particular from the academia world. We are excited about our new partnership for resminostat and the advances we are making to get this promising drug into the hands of doctors and patients. We remain committed to taking the next steps of bringing our important new medicines, in particular resminostat, as the frontrunner and 4C22 as the potential next candidate to patients, and thus exploit considerable potential present in our research and development programs. We are very excited about the future of 4C, and we look forward to updating you in due course on the progress of our novel cancer programs and the overall development of 4C. With that, I would like to thank you for your interest, and we are now open to your questions, and I kindly ask the operator to take over now. Thank you very much.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure your mute function on your phone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause now for just a moment to allow everyone's signal. We can now take our first question from Marietta Mimetes from Equinet. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thanks for taking my question. I really just wanted to clarify in a little bit more detail your partnering strategy for resminostat. So first, could you please remind us what rights or opt-in rights your partners, Yakult and Menarini, have in hematologic indications? And more broadly speaking, how do you intend to divide up the remaining indications and geographies? You obviously get two partners for the Asian markets, which are very important for liver cancer. So the question now is, would you be looking for just one other partner who would maybe do the whole world in hematologic indications as well as liver cancer in the Western world? Or do you actually think it is feasible to have more than three partners and to just really find the right partner for each indication and each geography? Thank you.
Okay, Marietta, pleasure having you on the call again. Welcome. And I'll just briefly summarize the current status with Yakult and Menarini for Asia. So, as stated in our annual report, Yakult is taking care of the full development of Risminostat in Japan, but exclusively for Japan. Here they have full freedom to operate in the field of oncology. They have certain obligations on developing certain indications, but beyond that, they are free to take it further in any additional indication they are convinced about. And we also hope in that context that beyond Risminostat being underway in HCC and non-small cell lung cancer, that Yakult will conduct further clinical trials in additional indications. And they invest their own efforts and money here, so they're taking care of this. We share the data, so when they generate data, we receive it, and vice versa, when we get data, obviously they can take it. The rest of Asia, or Pan-Asia, Asia and Pacific, which also includes Australia and New Zealand, for instance, is then covered by Menarini, so they have the exclusive rights for this whole region, which at the end of the day means completely Asia-Pacific is now being covered. There's no country left. And they have the opportunity to develop also in various indications here, such as HCC and non-small cell lung cancer, but also other. This is focused on oncology, and we also will share that data. In a perfect world, we manage to generate additional synergies by seeing how close we can get Yakult and Menarini together.
Can I just clarify it?
Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to clarify at this point. So what would actually happen if, you know, Yakult and Menarini said, you know, we actually have our hands full with liver cancer, maybe lung cancer. The hematologic indication looks very promising, but we're not going to be pursuing that at the moment. Would you then have the right to give that to potentially another partner? Or are you basically, you have given away the rights for Asia, and so these two basically decide what they want to do in Asia?
Yeah, so your last statement is basically the right summary. So they have full rights to the field of oncology, no matter whether it's hematology or solid tumors. That's covered in these contracts. So that's kind of occupied for this region. Your other question was referring to what is our further partnering strategy, and what we kept saying in the past 18 months is that we think we should generate additional data before going out for a deal for the rest of the world, so to say. And this is exactly what we intend to do, generating more data by clinical trials from ourselves and from our partners, which allow us to have a better estimate about Risminostat and where to develop it. In an ideal world, we would try to identify one further partner for the rest of the world, if this is feasible, because we don't want to have it too complex, obviously. But as you all know, this then depends on the reality check and what we can find in the future. But clearly, there will be further partnering efforts for reasons.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We can now take our next question from Christian Glennini. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Just initially on the Menarini side of things, what are you able to say there around sort of the expectation for the next step, how they develop the product in terms of, you know, clinical program, you know, and key markets, whether that's China or elsewhere? And also, as and when those happen, how you then communicate them, you know, given that, you know, Menarini is private and they wouldn't necessarily be communicating them, that these sort of things themselves.
Yeah, thank you, Christian. I think that's a good question that you're pointing out here. So, I mean, Menarini right now will take some time to really get into the detailed setup of how to run the trials. I mean, obviously they had put a lot of work into that prior to striking the deal, otherwise they wouldn't have done it. But now they have to kick it off, and this will take some time, doing the research and getting also in touch with the local authorities. I guess the major field will be the core Asian region, such countries like Taiwan, Korea, and obviously China as being the biggest market in that region. And this is where they probably will start from and then spread it out from there. In that context, we have a similar setting like with Yakult, so we do share the data. So whenever they generate data or have findings, 4C will have the benefit of getting a look into this data, and also vice versa. Whenever we generate additional data, we will have to provide those to Menarini. By this, trying to make it as efficacious for everyone having the overview of or about Rosnilstat.
So it would, you know, you would be free to effectively, you know, as and when the a clinical study gets underway in certain areas, then obviously you would be free to announce that yourself. Aside from Menarini, wouldn't necessarily announce that themselves.
Yeah, so that's something we would communicate. I mean, as you know by experience, we do the same with the Yakult data, and we should be able to do the same with in case Menarini reports important milestones, data, whatever.
Yeah, okay, thank you. And the second question was on the potential program, obviously exploring Rosnilstat more in hematological, and you mentioned CTCL. Can you give a little bit of a sense in terms of what subject to financing and/or partnering, where Rosnilstat, you know, what sort of study would initially be, you know, would it entail to kick that program off in hematological indications? You know, given where you know the amount of data that you already have, obviously, what sort of study you would be looking at, for you or a partner or whatever it may be.
Yeah, this is Daniel speaking. I think we are pretty in the planning of how to go forward here, and you may be reminded that we have already conducted a hematological cancer trial in monotherapy in Hodgkin's lymphoma in the past, and we have generated with some promising data and some even including some complete remission cases in the study. And also, we have generated some preclinical data regarding different types of hematological cancers. And I think we see it as a certain specific window of opportunity that still there's no HDAC inhibitor approved in Europe. And this is something which is, has really received our attention. And therefore, we started a couple of months ago. We started preparing and making up our mind about what is the right strategy. And this is not concluded now, so it's too early to say about the design here. What I can say is that this trial will be a randomized trial. We think if we want to get Rosnilstat approved in this area, we need to deliver data which by the authorities clearly accepted and really demonstrates the clinical benefit of Rosnilstat here.
Okay, I mean, just to be clear, because obviously you talk about you know, potentially accelerate, you know, fairly, you know, quick route to market potentially. Are we, you know, is there a potential here that this is a, you know, potentially a pivotal type study that you are able to run as we stand sit today, or is it, you know, which may be a phase 2 into 3 element, or it may just be a strong, you know, phase 2 type study, choosing the right, you know, patient population and things?
Well, actually, it's an idea always you have as a biotech company to make things quicker. I think it's a perfect niche. It's an orphan indication and it was a high medical need, and we think if the data is of a quality we expect, that may be a short way towards maybe conditional approval. That's something we would consider here. So we think it's a fast track approach for Rosnilstat, and we will see.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. As a further reminder, please press *1 to ask a question. As we have no further questions in the queue, I would now like to turn the call back over to you, Mr. Spillner, for any additional comments.
Yes, thank you, operator, and thank you also to the participants for your questions. As I said, I think we have made some really good progress in the Q1 of this year, and right now we are intensively working on Risminostat and 202, how to proceed them, as also Daniel just indicated. And based on that, you should get further news in the time to come, so stay tuned on what we have to report. And also with regard to the overall setting on 4SC, in particular securing the further development of our major value drivers, we want to march forward in the close month to come. Based on that, I think there should be further news flow, and we hope to talk to you soon, the latest for our Q2 report. Till then, thank you very much, and goodbye.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.